tweet at TodaySOR.
Two out of every five jobs in Ireland are at high risk of automation. That's according to a new study from University College Cork. Identifying the most at-risk towns in Ireland, they include at the top of the list Edgeworthstown in County Longford, Ballyjames, Dufferin, County Cavan, Carrick, Unshure in County Tipperary. Others, Portlaw in Waterford, Clonus in Monaghan, Tullow in Carlow, Kerr in Tipperary, Lifford in Donegal, Edenderry in Offaly and Feathered in County Tipperary. And with me in studio for more on this is Michael Taft, researcher for SIPTU. And on the line, Bridget Duffy, Fianna Fáil candidate for the local elections in Edgeworthstown. Good morning to you both. Bridget Duffy, Edgeworthstown identified as the town most at risk from job automation. Give us a sense of the current employment situation there, and are people worried about this?
Good morning, Sean. Well, the current employment situation in Edgeworthstown, as most people would be aware, former Taoiseach Albert Reynolds started the C&D pet foods factory in 1969 in Edgeworthstown, which would have been the major employer at the time and continues to be the major employer. Back then you were looking at a town with a population of between 700 and 900 people, and the majority of those that received employment would have done so in C&D. The manufacturing plant to this day still employs a huge section of the community. We've moved on quite a bit and have 2,500 residents living in town and a catchment of 4,500 people in the area. It would have been the reason, I suppose, that people got to get their first mortgage, build a house or buy a house, buy their first car. Everything can relate back to that manufacturing plant. And also, we also have Paul and Vincent Animal Feeds, which would be just across the road near the same site. So manufacturing is a huge employer in our small town. We're the second largest town in the county. We have the largest primary school. We have a huge diverse population. You're looking at least 17 different cultures, and most of those have come to work in the manufacturing plant. So obviously automation is a huge concern. Certainly if every 2 in 5 jobs are going to be lost to it, that is a massive blow to a town that relies heavily on manufacturing for employment.
Though I'd imagine, I think that it's been recently upgraded, that plant, and lots of current, the latest in technology is in there. Look, stay with us if you would. I want to turn to Michael Taft of SIFTU here. It's not as though these experts in UCC, they went to all of these towns and talked to people. What they did was they took the census data and looked into that. Is that how they did it?
That's correct. We have a number of models which impact automation on the population in terms of their, say, the level of education they had, or the occupation they're in, or the sector they work at, or their age. So we have those kind of breakdowns. Now, what Dr. Crowley and Mr. Doran did, which was quite helpful, was to say, okay, using that breakdown, let's apply it to these towns. I think they took a look at every town above 1,500. So it was quite comprehensive. Now, just to say that this is a model, and there are different studies have different impacts on employment from automation. Some are quite negative. Some are not so negative, but there will be an impact, and this will help us chart where that potential impact will be over the next 10-20 years.
Isn't it the case that certainly for the last 3 or 4 decades, automation has been replacing, and you can go back further into economic history, I suppose, automation replacing work in some way, like with self-service checkouts, self-check-in at the airport, in lots of hotels and so forth. This is just, you know, the forces of economic history at work.
That's true. I mean, automation technology has been with us for decades, going back even to the 19th century. In fact, workers were able to, not only through their bargaining power in the organization, but through the introduction of technology, were able to reduce their working week from 60 hours to 40 hours, and that was facilitated by more efficient factories. I think the concern here, though, is that the scale of the automation, its ability to replace what are usually called kind of routine-based jobs, is something that we've never encountered before. We are entering into unknown territory, not only with automation, not only with the technology. We're talking about everything from driverless cars to factories without people, even farms without people. So it's not just the automation, it's the artificial intelligence and the impact, which has not been experienced before. Now, you do have studies which are kind of glass half full. Okay, we'll have the automation, but this this will create other jobs. Somebody has to build the robots. Somebody has to maintain them. Somebody has to create the programs. But then there's the glass half empty, which says that the scale of the job loss will not be compensated for by the increase of work in other areas to maintain the automation and the robotics.
So what are the implications then for policy for governments?
There's a number of them. First, you must start out with the fact that we need a framework to negotiate not only how this technology is introduced, but who benefits from that. And when I say that, there's two types of frameworks. One is an economic framework where you bring in all the stakeholders, whether it's at a firm level or across a sector like retail or technology, to negotiate how this will be done. Other EU countries are well ahead of us on that one because they have had collective bargaining structures, for instance, going back decades, that look at pay and conditions. So now they can now look at the impact of technology.
And
the second one, for the purposes of Edwardstown and other towns, is that we will need new frameworks at regional and local level, because Dr. Crowley, Mr. Doran, made a very important point that the responses must be localized and bottom up. There's no one size fits all. So we need new frameworks that can bring in the local and regional stakeholders to help plan out how the impact will be on their community.
How might that apply to Edwardstown and other towns, Bridget Duffy? And just as a matter of interest, is the glass half full there or half empty?
That's a hard one to actually say. In one side, yes, the glass is half full because we actually have huge employment in Edwardstown. You know, our rate of employment will be quite low as compared to maybe other counties because we do have the manufacturing plants. You know, most people are very lucky in Edwardstown that they would have been able to purchase their homes. So the glass is half full in that respect. But if that automation were to happen and if worse came to worse, and with Brexit as well, because obviously the manufacturing plants that we have in Edwardstown, they would have a huge export economy to the UK. So all of those things, you know, you're looking at a glass half empty. So many people came to Edwardstown, relocated from Eastern Europe especially, to take up positions here. They have met their partners, they have married, they have started families. They're the reason that we have a huge school. They're the reason that we have all of these extra shops that we may have in our larger town in Longford. So the glass could be half empty if that automation happens, because these people are going to move where the work is.
Okay, you know, we'll leave it there. Thank you both indeed for joining us. That's on the line there, Bridget Duffy, Fianna Fáil candidate for the local elections in Edwardstown. And my thanks as well to Michael Taft, researcher with SIPTU here in studio. One text, one tweet. Tweet saying, stark discussion on today's war on automation about threats to Irish towns. Don't come back, Paddy Riley, to Bally James Duff, says Seamus Dooley. He of the NUJ, he thinks. And then robots don't pay taxes, says a listener in Dublin Now.